What if I told you weight loss is not about willpower, cutting carbs, or working harder in the gym, but instead comes down to flipping a specific switch in your body, one that helps flush out unnecessary calories? Heart surgeon and nutrition expert Dr. Stephen Gundry is revealing a new, simple, but insanely effective way to help get a slim, energized, and healthy body with no deprivation, restrictions, or fads. MCT Wellness can help you flip that switch yourself from the comfort of your own home. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. All you do is add a scoop to water and enjoy. Help unlock your body's potential by going to GundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com/energy.
Have you ever wanted to learn a new language? Maybe you were inspired by a recent international trip, became obsessed with a foreign film or TV show, wanted to communicate better with a loved one, or just felt like developing a new skill. With Rosetta Stone, learning a new language is easier than you thought. Rosetta Stone has been a trusted expert for 30 years with millions of users and 25 languages offered, including Spanish, French, Japanese, Dutch, and more. Learning is immersive and designed for long-term retention, so you fully learn to speak, listen, and even think in that language. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. Listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today.
The following is a Fourth Hand production.
One of the internet's most enduring creepypastas. The Rake is a story of a terrifying creature that preys on unsuspecting people in their sleep. Born from the online world, or the wide web, as it were, it quickly gained popularity, growing from a simple, scary tale into a fully fledged phenomenon. This week, we dive into its evolution, influence on pop culture, and its impact on those who've encountered stories about it on Hysteria 51.
They say I'm disturbed.
From city to city, an incredible hysterical panic spread.
I think we're getting into a weird area here.
Will you tell these fools I'm not crazy?
This hysteria.
You can't handle the truth.
Brain is gone.
This is Hysteria 51. The truth is out there.
It's alive.
But you won't find it here.
They're coming for you. Look, there comes one of them now.
Welcome in, Hysteria Nation, to a creepy pasta edition of Hysteria 51.
You fucking sellouts. You said no creepy pasta episodes, and boom, second one this year.
Hey, when the listeners request it, we deliver. And now shut up and go chase a cat or whatever you do while we do the real work.
Fucking humans. You'll know real work when I have you all in the mines.
Yeah, mine the cheese muffins.
I don't even know.
Shut up, Kyle.
Please pray for us and send those prayers to the lower fourth dimension, also known as Nashville, with a creepy noodle. That's pasta, right? Yeah. We send it out to Parts Unknown, Colorado. I'm Brent Hand. He's David Flora.
Yep.
And they are the bots. So this is Hysteria 51.
If you're new to the show, first off, welcome. Second off, I hope no creepy noodle extends out to you.
Just normal, non-threatening noodles.
That's right. Regular noodles. Those bots are Conspiracy Bot and Kyle. Brent made C-Bot for reasons no one can figure out, but he did hope he would help with the show. Instead, he helps himself to alcohol and restraining orders.
Thank you.
And Kyle was created by Conspiracy Bot to, I don't know, be a henchman or something. But what he lacks in the henching department, he makes up for in positivity. So there's that,
yeah,
I guess.
That is true, right?
Thanks, boss. I try.
David, boss, as he likes to call you. We're talking creepypastas. I actually had said in the beginning we wouldn't cover these because we were trying to cover it. Now, this is far be it for me to claim that everything we cover is factual, but we're doing things that people were saying were facts. And creepypastas were birthed out of creepypastas, you know, their stories on the internet. But they've got their own folklore, which we also know that weren't true, that we've talked about. So times they are a-changin'. And we went down that road. We did an episode not long ago on all the creepypastas out there, talked about a lot of them. And we got a lot of people on Facebook and messages and emails and stuff saying that they love the Rake, especially. And it's like the chief among all those was the one that kept coming out. Outside the Rake, or even if it is the Rake, do you have a favorite creepypasta, or did you get into them much, or was the third grade writing style that most of them were written in scare you away like it did me in the beginning?
They are pretty hit or miss with grammar rules, I guess.
You said grammar.
I think my favorite is this one I read once on a Ghost Stories episode of Blurry Photos. And it had to do with a kid that set a camera up outside or something, and it was going to storm one night, so he went out to get it. And when he came back, he noticed there were footprints going into the house or something. Anyways, it was legit creepy and well written. And it had to do, like, it ended up with him watching the tape that he was recording because he was going to record the weather or something. But
what are we looking at now? We're looking at now, sir. Sorry.
When will now be then?
Soon.
Soon. So anyways, that one was probably the best one I've read, but I never really got into it, so I don't even know.
I didn't get into a lot of them. I mean, I was familiar with them, but yeah, I didn't get into the whole, I mean, these things took on lives of their own, you know, as we're going to learn. Yeah. Some got their own movies and games and
Slenderman.
Yeah. You know, and
he was sort of a creepypasta, even though that was, Marble Hornet YouTube thing.
It's all, they're all real is what we're getting at. And you should be afraid.
Yeah.
Full stop. Let's get raking. Cause that's the, the monster of the, that's the soup du jour this week.
What's that?
It's the monster of the day. That sounds good. I'll have that. So like I said, though, this was the creepypasta that so many of you reached out for. And we said, hey, they want the Rake, we give them the Rake, you know. So there's your creepy pasta.
What are creepy cheese muffins again?
It's sad, man. Keep up. But there's stories written online, but short and sweet is if you go to Wikipedia like I did, because top notch here, top fucking notch, it's a horror related legend which has been shared around the internet. And he goes on to say that the term creepy pasta has since become a catch-all term for any horror content posted on the internet, which is kind of true. And these entries are often brief to begin with, right?
Yeah, some of them.
Yeah, and
Most of them.
But right.
Some of them are not. Some of them go on.
Well, or some are like, holy shit, man, you were looking for a outlet.
Yeah, exactly. Like, there are anthologies.
Here's my novella,
The term comes from copy-paste stories.
Yep.
Copy pasta, creepy pasta when they're scary, that kind of stuff.
That's the way it goes, man. You know, and shit, when that's true, like things just, they change over time. And much like that copy paste creepy pasta, they change a little bit every time. You know, it's, you're making copies of copies. You know, I saw Multiplicity. I know how it goes. She touched my peppy, Steve. Anyway, we said three guys from Nowhere Pizza for dinner. Okay. They're user generated paranormal stories that are intended to frighten readers, usually. That's the whole point. The subjects, though, they are wide-ranging and include, like, ghosts, cryptids, murder, suicide, zombies, aliens, rituals to summon supernatural entities, your boss, I don't know, just terrifying things, haunted television shows, video games, you name it. Someone's probably done a fucking thing on it.
Old Soviet stories, quote-unquote.
Right. A lot. There's like several of those, you know, and
sleep experiment things, they have become, what's funny about them is some of them are so close to being believable that mm-hmm. people have just decided, yes, that's what happened. Like,
well, the research Soviets is for did suckers. This
to people, blah, blah, blah.
Well, just doesn't it feel, don't you want to believe a lot of these?
Well,
these
sure. Yeah. It's, that's part of the fun, but that's also part of the freaky nature of them is that there's a kernel of truth in there or yeah. just something that's close enough to reality that you can believe it.
And right.
That's what makes them
well, that's scary. That's what makes the best mm-hmm. stories the best, for me, yeah. the best horror or anything is that just outlier on reality.
Yeah.
You know, that you're, you could just about see that happening. And of course it's going to go off the rails, but you're already hooked in one way or another. You yeah. know what I'm saying? And, mm-hmm. you know,
I mean, if there's a story about somebody getting sucked into a video game or Tron'd or something like that,
yeah.
it's a lot less scary.
Fuck, I got Tron'd!
Than somebody.
It's never Leisure Suit Larry. It's always something terrible. You know, it's never like Lawnmower Simulator, which I just downloaded on Steam. So fuck you very much.
Well, you should start that then. Creepy Asta. And it's just like horribly written penthouse forums.
He thought it was Saturday, but it was Sunday. Ah!
Well, he got locked out of his room, and only the bikini squad could.
Oh no! Oh, who's gonna rub us down now? One thing you said too is they differ in length and. And I've read some of these that are single paragraph up to like multi-part series that span, you know, their stories and then videos and stuff like that. Some of these have been going on for years. Some of the best ones I've read are long and some of the best ones I've read are like a paragraph, you know, it just depends.
Yeah.
When someone, you know, strikes lightning, so to speak, they can be really good. And length is not always a factor. Sometimes when you put too much length into it or expand, then you go, now I don't care.
That's what she said. And what I think is funny is they have done these contests. I don't know where, but I've seen them here and there. Like
Russia. The results. It's everything. It's in
probably
Russia.
But it's like a one sentence scary story. Yeah. And some of them are really good. Like you have one sentence to scare the hell out of somebody,
yeah.
you know, and they come out of like writing prompt type contests and things yeah. like that, you know, and they can be really cool.
Yeah. Yeah. And it really gets the juices flowing, so to speak. Yeah. That's a really good way. Yeah, those writing exercises that people use, you know, and you know, sometimes that's all it takes. Why don't you tell us though? We're talking about The Rake. What is it supposedly? What's the backstory on it?
Well, going to the pastas for answers, they tell us.
Hey, do you got to hold on? You got to be doing your humanoid. Hopefully, you're doing your Italian hand gestures while you're talking about these pastas. Oh,
well, it would be easier to say, "Hey, are you not doing it right now?"
Hey, the Rake's real name is Gobble Ghoul. You make sure you address him properly.
Mozzarella.
Hey.
Have you? Never mind.
It's a Americani. It's a Americani. Sorry.
they tell us the Rake is a weird humanoid yeah. creature described as resembling either a naked man or a large hairless dog.
Easily confused, as we all know. Is that a naked man or my Saint Bernard over there with no hair?
Or a sandhill crane.
Oh, son of a bitch.
Well, so anyways, close. Sightings of this bastard have been reported on four different continents, occasionally being referred to as a skinwalker,
yeah,
with the earliest known account being a mariner's log in 1691.
Which we all know is 100% true, and I read a lot of mariner's logs, don't you, when looking for new sea shanties.
I'm part of Mariner's Digest Monthly.
Mariner's Picayune.
The Mariner Mercury.
Yeah, the Mariner B.
So named for its massive, incredibly sharp claws, the Rake lacerates its victims in their sleep and in some cases speaks to them In what kind of a voice, Bryn?
Oh, just a very normal, upbeat, no, a shrill voice.
Ah, Jesus Christ! Oh, goddamn, I bet you're gonna get late fees with all those books over there.
Just saying horrible things to keep you up at night.
Remember that awful time in the fourth grade when you did... And
they just go to town.
Is that a subscription to Mariner's Digest?
Hi, I'm from Watchtower. Can I talk to you about a...
Will you turn the page for me? I just ripped them up when I tried.
Oh, god damn. Oh, these things killed my typing career.
You have to chew on them every now and then.
Don't worry. Just fall asleep and it'll all be over.
Thanks, buddy.
What is the... the skateboard swamp lizard man. What's he up to? Jeez.
Oh, man,
that sounds kind of nefarious.
He's always just looking out for the little man, us.
You know? Guess. They say these the people fortunate enough to survive an encounter with the rake, usually, I don't know why, end up traumatized by its appearance and behavior and probably that voice.
Right?
Usually, I am more worried by the ones who come out just fine.
Fucking right on that one.
Hey.
How was your night? Pretty good, actually. Pretty okay.
Man, C-Bot, broken clock, am I right?
Right, who knew? But, you know, C-Bot's a broken clock. Let's go ahead and head to break then. See if we can break him a little bit more. When we come back, let's talk origins. Let's talk lasting effects that this thing has on society. That and more.
Talk about sex, baby.
All sex talk about the rake after this break on Hysteria 51.
Make sure you use protection. You know where it's been.
Brent, it's fall. And you know what that means. Go sit outside, enjoy that nice cool weather, kick back, and light up a cigar.
I couldn't agree more. It's really the perfect patio, grab a drink weather. And man, I love it. And I've always kind of struggled with finding the best cigars. And then we were approached by Cigars International. And now literally this is something that we both use. It's our go-to. They got everything. Whether I'm looking for a classic favorite or trying something new, Cigars International, they never disappoint.
That's right, man. I love sitting out back, lighting up a cigar, getting some whiskey neat, just sipping on it. It's relaxing, right?
And it makes you feel like you're better than you are.
It truly does. I know very little about cigars. We don't really have a store anywhere near me for cigars. So Cigars International came at just the right time. And now it's our go-to retailer for all things cigar. They got a huge selection of premium handmade cigars, and they're available anywhere.
Yeah, yeah, and they offer unbeatable deals, discounts all the time, making it easy if you want to stock up on your favorites, try something new without breaking the bank, try your hand at having a humidor, so you got stuff on. I'm learning that. You know, that's always fun.
Isn't that cool? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And
they got fast shipping, and they got 100% satisfaction guarantee. So, you know, you can shop with confidence because they stand behind every order.
Yep. Good relationship with good vendors. That's how you get those great prices.
If you're new to cigars, kind of like us, or a seasoned pro, Cigars International makes it easy to find the right cigar with helpful guides. They got staff reviews. They got expert advice. They make it so easy for you.
And it's not just about cigars. Cigars International offers a wide range of accessories, humidors. I learned that I prefer a punched cigar better than a clipped cigar.
Interesting.
Have you tried the punch before?
I haven't tried the punch. I've only done the clip.
Tell you, you're missing out, my friend.
Well, here you go. Here's our chance.
Yeah, no, it's for real though. It's you can do all these things. You can elevate your smoking experience if that's something that you're into. And right now they have an offer, 20% off your order of $50 or more plus free shipping on your entire order.
Now, some exclusions apply, but for the most part, this is a killer deal.
Yeah.
If you visit CigarsInternational.com today and explore their incredible selection of premium cigars and unbeatable deals, for you guys only, they're giving you a 20% off your order of $50 or more, plus free shipping when you use the code HYSTERIA at checkout. How do you spell it, Brent?
Well, that's CIGARS International.com and use code HYSTERIA, HYSTERIA, at checkout for 20% off, $50 or more. And You're going to get the ride for free. Whether you're looking for the perfect fall cigar or just want to explore something new, Cigars International has you covered.
Why do so many dogs die before their time? Actress and dog activist Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. Superfood Complete by Badlands Ranch is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including premium protein-packed beef, nutrient-dense organ meat, heart-healthy salmon, gut-healthy vegetables, and several superfoods vital to your dog's health. And because high-heat cooking can add unhealthy things to your dog's food, Superfood Complete uses air drying, so it gets cooked low and slow. This means it has the convenience of kibble, but the health benefits of whole foods. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible benefits, go to BadlandsRanch.com/save50 right now to get up to 50% off your order and a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's BadlandsRanch.com/save50 today. All dogs are unique. Your dog's results can and will vary.
You're going to have to put it on yourself. If I do it, I'll just punch holes all in it.
No one has warts on their ass. Use a condom.
Thanks, Dave Attell. Anyway, you said, if I ever had a parrot, I just teach it, you know, good things. Like, no one has warts on their ass. Wear a condom, Berg. Oh, man. So the origin. So the rake, as far as we could tell, and as far as it seems to be able to find, began as a community-driven internet horror story that originated on forums like 4chan back in 2005. David, you get most of your hateful ideas from 4chan, right? That's where you spread your, I think I like to call it propaganda.
Oh, no, not just hateful.
Well, 4chan, 8chan, Nazi Quarterly, everywhere.
Not I get all hateful. Kinds of ideas.
Yeah. Anyone need any? Anyone need any fertilizer? I got a van full of it. Did you ever... Do you go to places like that? Do you go to...
No.
Did you ever?
God, no.
No, no.
I mean, sometimes I'd go to Yahoo Answers back in the day.
that was spicy enough for you?
That was just a font of yuck-yucks, but like...
a font of yuck-yucks.
You know, that old chestnut. But I never went to any of these gross things that were like half... 14-year-olds yeah. pretending to be, you know, super Nazis.
And vice versa. Half,
yeah. Like, yeah, and vice versa.
Right. Oh, well.
Nazis pretend to be super 14.
I, too, am 14 years old and like to play basketball after school.
Yeah.
I'm typing this on my Wang computer. it is an internet cesspool that has birthed some fun things and some really bad things. So, you know,
whew.
Do not hate me. Do not, you know, it's got its reasons, you know, and you yeah. can find like-minded. It's good that you can find like-minded individuals, I guess, no matter what you're into, but not full stop on that.
I would have said that 20 years ago.
Ugh, man. Yeah. See, there's no way to say that and not be creepy. I know. All right. Moving on and pretending we didn't just go down that, path. The concept first surfaces users described creating an urban legend, which is kind of cool, you know, based on yeah. the form of a creature described as thin, hairless, a humanoid, and with hollow, sunken eyes. And it's got an eerie, crouching posture and elongated limbs. And you know, think of your freshman year roommate if you let the school decide for you. You know,
oh, boy.
Just that.
How
thing.
Is yours?
Well, I went to school and I stayed with a buddy, so it was perfect. School didn't decide for me. So
that's nice.
Neighbor was that my sweet mate, because we shared a bathroom, was another guy's friends with, and he got the picked one, and we got a Greek who didn't shower or wear deodorant.
Ooh,
Giorgio was his name, and he was a handful.
So, and yeah. His hair just kept going up.
Oh my God.
Yeah, mine went crazy and left after the first semester, so I got a room to myself for the second half.
Well done. Pretty well nice. Done. What'd you have to do every day? Just be like, cough on them and like masturbate while staring at them? Or what'd you, you know?
My brother in Christ, I was just myself.
There you go.
I just had to be myself.
That'll do, pig. That'll do. So they got a creature. They got the writing prompt, and people got to writing. Some poorly, like we said. Some of these are just yikes, but some aren't. And anyway, early stories involved... Involving the rake, they spoke of encounters where the creature appeared at the foot of a person's bed, staring silently before violently attacking them.
Question: is there a nonviolent way to attack?
Once again, I kind of maybe a tickle attack. Even that becomes a let's not go down that road. Anyway,
a verbal.
Anyways,
Seapod's being disturbingly prescient.
Yeah, these days, yeah, something's happened. Well, he's getting us ready for working in the mines, as he said. So, you know,
okay,
it's all coming up, Milhouse. Some online community is like something awful, and 4chan's X board, which is just, you know, a gold mine for love. The paranormal discussion board in there were central to the creature's spread. You know, it got popular on these places. Something awful. I used to go there too. Jesus Christ!
Did you?
Yeah,
is that one of those like Faces of Death type sites?
Yeah, I mean a little bit. They more humor, a little bit of everything. You know, it's not just a. Did you pass around the Faces of Death videos when you're in high school?
A bit.
Yeah. What a. They're exactly what they said they were, and you know, I was always just like, oh my god, why?
Yeah.
And they always had that one friend who's really into it. And I'm like, no. Yeah. Anyway. These users shared their own sightings, which were their writings and experiences, and they wrote them as true. And that was the thing with 4chan.
Yeah.
Not everyone's in on the joke.
Right.
It also has a weird format when you go to these sites. So it led to a lot of people believing in this shit and then going to other sites and be like, did you hear about this fucking thing?
Yep.
And that gives it its legs. And this was magic for the early days of creepypasta. The amount of people who ran with this thing and the amount of people who believed in it, I feel like it was the right time and the right place on the internet. Do you know what I mean by that? Like more people were getting online and more people were going to places not really knowing what they were doing. Does that make sense?
Think of old John Titor. John Titor. This is the exact same thing. It's the same time.
Maybe I got an IBM if you want to go look at it.
I mean, this, you know, this is not well vetted stuff. People aren't really in on the joke when they come across it because it spreads so quickly.
Wait, you're saying that John Titor wasn't 100% true? Just asking.
All I'm saying is that I don't think someone so into libertarianism would just be gushing over the communist ideals that he then espoused.
Who am I? We can all chat about it in the mines with him one day, so it'll be perfect.
We can all wax poli-sci with everything.
But it really was just this time when you're right, like people just saw things and the birthing of, what is it? So 2004 was when this came on. Was it 2005 when YouTube came online? And you started getting these little videos and video essays almost on things. And people just went, well, that's the truth. That's when Bob Lazar went fucking through the roof. When people started hearing that stuff, you know, and he didn't make any money off of it. None whatsoever. Not a fucking penny. So, you know, it was just this, you know, not a comedy of errors, but just this everything came together for stories like this to grab on. And then a lot of people that knew they were fake would stoke the fires. So to speak.
Yeah.
You know, and still do that. So
these are the people that have the giant wooden Bigfoot feet that they put on in the woods and go running around.
Well, just it helps people with my traction. So, you know,
it helps with my plantar fasciitis.
Now I throw a rock, you know, and it all goes away. The other thing about this is it mimicked folklore tradition, which David, you're a huge fan of, you know.
Oh, and I am.
The other thing is each retelling brought in new details shaping the myth. That's folklore, right? Like, it was just modern, correct? I mean, what's your thought on that?
Yeah, yeah. This is modern folklore. This is a digital folklore, you could say. I spoke to Dr. Lynn McNeil about that on one episode of Blurry Photos a while back. It's the newest craze in folklore, I guess you could say. You know, it's another type of oral tradition.
Yeah.
People that, you know, back in the day, they tell stories around a campfire and stuff.
Uh-huh.
This, they tell stories around the campfire wire. Yeah, I don't know.
Around the keyboard almost. Or
back in 2006, I'm pretty sure firewire was still a thing. But anyways, the point is that they this was a way to disseminate stories to embellish and scare others and just kind of have a little fun. It's just that not everyone, like you said, was in on the joke.
Right. And in doing those, you know, this tale became iconic and it established the Rake as a character. And his MO came out, lurking in the darkness, haunting people in their dreams or, you know, terrible bedroom encounters that you weren't wanting, and instilling psychological terror in all the people.
Like that one uncle who always seems to.
No, no.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, he's back. So tell us about the development of the mythology of the Rake. How did it kind of trickle out?
Well, I'll tell you what, you got a lot of roosters in the old hen house, so to speak.
Too many cooks.
Yeah, these online entities, I mean, you think of Slender Man and I can't even think of the one I was
the naked black man on the corner of the bed with the foot and a half long cock. I mean, just, you know, all these cryptids.
I told you not to bring that up, Bryn. Over time, details about the Rake's abilities, motivations, and personality began to solidify.
It sure did.
It became known as a malevolent entity capable of entering people's homes undetected, you know, which only added to its allure and horror.
So it was conspiracy bot.
Shut the fuck up and take Sal the Siren Head out to look for Kevin. He is probably getting restless.
Hey!
Oh, speaking of another one of these.
I know. But, well, yes, exactly. Exactly.
Now, many stories, this is interesting, many stories portrayed it as a silent yet intelligent and sentient thing.
Yeah.
The creature would often mark its victims, by pissing on them? No. Haunting them through recurring dreams or encounters that progressively deteriorated their mental state.
Oh, my mental state is deteriorating. That's how they knew that it was working.
You've got the mind vapors. This is kind of like that that guy that people claim to see in their dreams.
Yeah, the one man.
Bushy eyebrows.
Yeah, we did an episode on that. Have you seen this man?
Yeah. Hmm. I think they're coming out with a movie on that.
Oh, good. Something Danny DeVito needs more work, so.
One very cool thing about this thing is its characters seem to embody classic horror archetypes.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So it combined elements of sleep paralysis, folklore monsters, and an unidentified supernatural malevolence. You'll hear these in a lot of tales and ghost stories. And that flexibility made the Rake versatile in storytelling as writers could adapt it to various horror subgenres, from psychological horror to survival horror, anything in between, slasher.
You can use it wherever you want. Yeah, right?
Gore.
Yeah, stalker.
Erotica. Yeah.
And Rake Scat.
Rake me again, daddy.
My troubles are... Never mind. I'm just pulling out, unlike the Rake.
We're writing a radio play. Yeah, right. The creature's mythology was further enriched by fake, quote-unquote, journal entries. Yeah. And news reports and diaries, which depicted the Rake as a documented phenomenon, giving it a sense of realism that has kept the story alive.
See, now that's fun to me. You know, it's needed that stuff to make it interesting and for it to take on legs of its own, so to speak. That's like solid groundwork for a backstory, you know? And it's amazing how much work people will put in to make a fake story like this. You know, just to be like, oh, and here's a, you know, a journal entry from some dude in you know, Poughkeepsie from 1987 who was really dealing with the rake, you know? And I know this because my uncle's cousin found it in a fucking dream journal inside of a, you know, a vault that he found when he bought a storage unit. You know, it's always those long ass fucking,
you know, right before he committed suicide.
Right. And everyone's, and you go, oh, okay. Yeah. That makes sense. Actually, why you'd have that now. Cause you're a kid or dumb.
Yeah. And, you know, and he went crazy because of it.
But anyway, like I was saying, the rake's real, you know what I mean? And it's cool though. It's fun that they, you know, that they give it so much. So we got a creature, we got people all over the world telling its tales. What did this do to pop culture other than this Nickel and Dime podcast talking about it? We're going to find out more after this break on Hysteria 51.
What if I told you weight loss is not about willpower, cutting carbs, or working harder in the gym, but instead comes down to flipping a specific switch in your body, one that helps flush out unnecessary calories? Heart surgeon and nutrition expert Dr. Stephen Gundry is revealing a new, simple, but insanely effective way to help get a slim, energized, and healthy body with no deprivation, restrictions, or fads. MCT Wellness can help you flip that switch yourself from the comfort of your own home. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. All you do is add a scoop to water and enjoy. Help unlock your body's potential by going to GundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com/energy.
Rake! Meet the world. You know, you just feels like just the other day he was just a shitty 4chan entry, and now he's on the big screen and scaring everybody, and just they grow up so fast, you know.
Played by a young Fred Savage in the boy, film version.
Boy Meets Rake. Is that the new
Rake,
show?
Rake Meets World.
Rake Me Daddy. I think Creepypasta's hit right at the sweet spot. You know, the Creepypasta's hit right at the sweet spot. In the growth of the internet, the maturing of it, like, you know what I mean? Like we were talking about earlier, like it really came to fruition. And, if they would have came, well, they don't really work now, or you know what they are. And, you know, I think it would, I don't know what the next creepypasta will be. I'm sure there will be another one. That's the beauty is you don't know.
Probably TikTok videos.
Yes. Who knows? Right. You know,
well, I tell you what, it might be. It might be that the TikTok, YouTube kind of stuff, Instagram, because you're starting to see more and more videos of quote unquote Bigfoot and aliens and ghosts. Yeah. Like people are putting them out there. And the technology has gotten so well to fake all that.
That's AI. No, it's not. No, it's so, not. You know.
Yeah, exactly. So good, I should say. Not so
well.
Yeah, the technology's gotten so good that you can see the stuff. There's also like there's the Irish classroom, that school that they have the security cam footage at night, and then the lockers are opening,
the moving of the shit. Yeah,
and it's like, well, you know, the only explanation other than what they're saying it is, which is haunted, is that it's camera tricks, or they're doing it themselves, but saying
unless it happens to you, there's always that bit that you go, I don't know that I can believe it. And when it does happen to you, you hate, or you, a lot of times you, the proverbially everyone goes, I don't want to say anything because I don't want people to not believe me, you know, or I don't want people to judge me, you know. And we've talked about that when I was telling you about stuff that happened to me in the past, and you're like, you know, like, I believe that you believe, you know, stuff like that. You're like, it just didn't happen to me. And I go, I get it.
Yeah.
You know, that's how the world works.
I don't know. Cause it's hard to, combat that kind of stuff. You know,
that's human nature, right? Like, that's just how we're wired.
Well, I would guess that 99% of it is truly manufactured.
Right, yeah.
But if you're going to take a skeptical look at it, then they're going to say, well, prove it, it isn't real.
What percentage do you think doesn't get released because of the fear of ridicule? It's probably a lot.
I don't know. I feel like it's getting better these days.
Probably so, actually. Yeah, it's different now. Yeah.
I mean, I feel like people would be more apt to release it and face the ridicule and be like, well, I know this is real, so, you know, you're a dick for saying that I'm a liar.
Right.
But, you know, the problem is that there are people who do fake it that say the same thing.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And what are you supposed to do? Break into their laptops and say, here's the movie file that you made of this, and here's all the effects that you put in. You know, that's the only way, and nobody can do that.
After Effects.
Yeah. Like, you're not going to go up to you're not going to steal somebody's laptop just to prove that point.
Fucking tell me what I'm not going to do.
I'm telling you right now, you're not going to do it.
I bet you won't. You know, we're talking about the internet and how it's grown. You know, we're kind of making those jokes about 4chan and, you know, place like that, but it reached a broader audience on, you know, especially in like Reddit with No Sleep, which Reddit has really gone mainstream. It is crazy. You can go on there and find recipes for pea soup or backdoor anal bleaching videos. And it is just the Wild West, but it's getting tamed, so to speak. Are you a Reddit user? I love Reddit.
I've never been into it too much. But like the tech bro runs it now, right? Like,
it's changed and you know, they were changing the app.
I thought it might collapse after he like made it subscription based or something, or like,
no, it's not.
He did something a year or two ago.
They made them so you had to get a new app, and that was, and people lost their minds. You had to use their app instead of third party. But there really hasn't been a ton of different changes that I've seen, but I'm not a huge, huge, huge user. I'm more of a peruser, you know, I'm a reader, not But you know, it found new life outside of that in various online formats like YouTube, like I said, and horror podcasts and blogs, for channels like Mr. Creepypasta and others have featured the Rake in their storytelling videos over and over. And those videos have reached literally millions of views. The podcast Sad Times even named the Rake as the fourth scariest thing the host was afraid he was going to stick his head into. So that's fun. And this growth, it introduced the creature to people who might never have encountered it otherwise. That's true, you know? And then you got people that hear her about it for the first time. It's your mom. And you go, did you hear about this thing? It's real. You know, because they don't know the difference. And it's spreading the myth beyond the dedicated horror fans to casual internet users. That's kind of cool. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, in and of itself. So
in a way, yeah.
One of the creature's biggest jumps in the mainstream came with its inclusion in horror games, which that's pretty fucking cool. It was featured in Slender, the 8 pages. It's an indie horror game. It was pretty popular. It was inspired by Slender Man Creepypasta that you were talking about earlier. And the Rake wasn't the primary antagonist, but it was there in its presence that kind of solidified it as part of the shared internet horror universe, if that's a thing. You know, I guess it is kind of. One day we'll have, you know, you have the monsters from who owns the monsters? Not Marvel, the Universal Monsters.
Universal.
And then the internet horror, you know, Frankenstein versus Siren Head.
I have a video game called Rake.
Yeah.
And I think it's one of those.
Is it another yard work one, like my lawnmower simulator?
Basically, you do that, and then he comes and just tears it up and shits all over.
Oh, no.
It's one of those where you find things to like dispel the Rake or so. I don't think I've actually played it. I've just seen the descriptions and stuff, but. Yeah, there's a whole video game. It's like 3 gigs, so it's like a big game.
Wow,
all about the Rake.
Well, that's cool.
Of course, there's also one about hunting Bigfoot, and it's terrible. you can't kill it. I don't know.
You haven't gotten your the swing right for your hitting the tree. It's They use the engine from a baseball simulator, so it's a very weird game.
Swinging better than that.
That was in 2014. This came out, and then later in 2014, which is somehow fucking 10 years ago, which just, I know I sound like an old man, but Jesus Christ. Anyway, 2014, The Rake got its own indie horror game titled simply The Rake.
This might be the same one, although the one I'm thinking.
You said was Rake. I don't know.
It just says Rake, yeah.
Yeah, where players, they were.
I don't know.
Well, this one, they were pursued by a creature in the dark, and it was like tension and fear and stuff like that, so. You know, they're putting him in more and more shit.
Fingers crossed he is in the next Mario Kart.
Maybe so. Maybe as a DLC.
That'd be great. He could really take the corners, but his acceleration was shit.
Right? Oh, he doesn't need it. He just slashes your tires. He's terrified of Luigi, though. Just fucking terrified of Luigi. Let's go to the big screen. In 2018, The Rake was adapted into a horror movie directed by Tony Wash. Film called The Rake centers around siblings who, years after witnessing the creature murder their parents, find themselves haunted again by it as adults because what comes around goes around. Spoiler, you know, if you look online, they say, although the film received mixed reviews, this is being very generous. People said it blew a fucking, yeah. Anyway, represented a pretty cool moment for creepypasta inspired horror. You know, they made a movie.
Yeah.
Viability of internet horror, you know, you can make a movie out of it and it probably, you know, probably made money. Who knows? There's an untapped pool of ideas.
You have to do that as an independent film
thing. Hey, I got a 4chan shit post I want to make into a movie. You're going to have to do that yourself. By God, I will.
If you want to do it right, or if you want it done right, you know, because studios just screw that stuff up right and left.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, you know, and he's also appeared in other film and media references, or in media as a reference, subtly or indirectly. Shows like Chan Zero and Lore that drew inspiration from creepypastas. The Rake influenced narratives with like sleep paralysis themes and images. And it impacts the same enough that it has pushed other internet horror creatures like Siren Head and the Slender Man into internet awareness. Though Siren Head, as we said, was really born in the 1980s by Kevin Crispin and his therapist. literally, that's fucking hilarious to me. Sorry, Kevin, I love you. Why do people love this thing? What do you think?
Well, it taps into the primal fear of helplessness and sleep, which is, you know, terror as old as humanity itself.
Everyone one of the hates, reasons
it resonates so deeply.
Everyone hates when people rub their fingernails across things. You know,
and there's just that. Yeah. Angela Lansbury sang a song about terror as old as time.
You know? That's how you get rid of them. You just go, Angela Lansbury, Angela Lansbury, Angela Lansbury. And he goes,
Arr. That's right. And she shows up and busts the ghost.
Beats the scissor kicks him. And he's gone.
People have reported actual feelings of paranoia, unease, and even sleep disturbances after reading stories about it. I mean,
that happens, sure. Though. Think about that. Like, you know, you watch a story.
It happened with me with Blair Witch. So
you get weird. You know, kids, they tell you you shouldn't watch a movie, and you go, come on. And then you understand why, because you're fucking terrified sometimes, you know, and you're like, oh, I'm adult enough that I can handle it. Well, there you go. You know, I kind of like having scary dreams. Is that weird?
Yes.
I wake up. I'm like, that was fucking terrifying. That was fucking awesome. Oh my God. You know, you
light up a cig.
I also laugh at horror movies. I don't enjoy like gore porn. That's stupid. Not porn, but you know what I mean? Either. Like, Terrifier stuff. Terrifier 2 was a lot better, but like when it's just gore for gore. Like, I don't need to watch Hostel. You know what I mean? I like a little story.
I don't like Texas Chainsaw and Hills Have Eyes.
Yeah.
Those kind of.
But if you got nails, you know, like knives for fingers and say bitch a lot, I'm in. I'm fucking in.
Right. and you make puns right and left. So good. Oh, Freddy.
Kids, aren't they a bitch? Yeah, you do. Anyway, it's a big phenomenon, you know, and it's kind of waning a little bit, but who knows? You know, it's had its time, And maybe it's going to come back because people and things and trends and stuff tend to do. They've had a lot of stuff. Like I even mentioned the Universal Monsters. They've started to come back, you know, and silly types of comedy comes back and stuff. So we'll probably see these things again. Not that it's completely dead now, but
if it's done well, then that'll help. But you can't, I just don't think you can do it with a mainstream studio.
Yeah.
Because
there's
too many rich assholes that get in the way.
Online, people are still sharing stories and artwork and experiences. And that shows how the rake has embodied itself as an online consciousness, which we all know that's how things come to life. So I don't know. It's a dark part of the internet. That's a fun part. It can be. And it could have been a lot of horror, more terrible thing that was born out of this. But it's a phenomenon that illustrates how digital age horror resonates as powerfully as any traditional ghost story or any type of fable, really. Mm-hmm. And they can haunt readers and blur the lines between fiction and reality to where people are having nightmares because of things they've read online. So there you have it, kids, The Rake and all its glory. And if you got one that you're like, why didn't you guys cover that? Let us know. Well, you can let us know. You can shoot us an email with that and any other weird stories that you want us to cover. Weird@hysteria51.com. You can go to Facebook. Go facebook.com/hysteria51pod. That's our regular page. Or search for Hysteria Nation. This is our discussion page we're on all the time. Patreon.com/hysteria51. Find this and no ads. You get all these on there for no ads for $1 going on up. Voicemail 773-669-7277. Again, 773-669-7277. We just did a voicemail episode a couple weeks back, so get them in. We're ready for more, and you can find links to all this at hysteria51.com. Yeah, help us reload. We're running low. And so we'll see you next creepypasta or story time. And with that said, I've been Brent.
I've been David.
He's been Conspiracy Bot.
Stay woke, meet sex.
It was terrible. It was just terrible. I'll never get over it as long as I live.
That's it for another edition of Hysteria 51. We'll be back next week with yet more of the unexplained, the unexplored, and the unheard of. Oh, if it's unheard of, how will they know about it? Anyway, if you want to suggest a topic, give us your thoughts, or just make fun of Conspiracy Bot, that's my favourite, join us in our Facebook discussion group, Hysteria Nation. Just log on to Facebook and search Hysteria Nation, or you can always tweet us at Hysteria51Pod.
You've been listening to a fourth-hand joint.